The Geek Cave, brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. Gamefly, video games delivered. And GameStop, power to the players. Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, O searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of the Geek Cave Podcast gaming segment. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
Oh boy, howdy. What a time for games. When we were last doing a full episode of the Geek Cave, we didn't know anything about the PS5. And now we know a few things about it. We still don't know the important things. But we know that
it
exists.
What do you mean we don't know the important things? We know that it's, you know, we know that it's bright white and black.
Yep.
That it looks like the plunging neckline of a 1940s starlet.
Yep.
That many people are going to confuse it with the Tesla house battery.
But we'll get a little bit more into that because some new stuff has come out since the last time we recorded. Since we even did like a recent chat about it. But first, you guys got anything for gaming? I mean, it's kind of, this is like the dry period for video games right now.
Well, okay, I got a few things.
Okay.
So, and you promise we're going to talk about PS5 stuff later?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, in that case, because I've been playing a lot of Minecraft, it shows up now on my, like, Google splash page, you know? And so, good news for all you miners and crafters, it's been inducted into the World Gaming Hall of Fame, which sits it next to such hits as Atari's Centipede and Doom. So
it's a diverse group.
It is a diverse group. Actually, it pretty well deter. It's good that it's there.
Yeah.
You know, I wish that the Hall of Fame were not a strictly fan done thing, that it had a little bit more oversight, but it would deserve to be on the World Gaming Hall of Fame just for the amount of people that it's gotten into, you know, gaming in different platforms. Otherwise, the Taiwan Digital Game Rating Committee, a notoriously leaky group, has, on purpose, on accident, I don't know, leaked the existence of a new game by Toys for Bob. Now, Toys for Bob's the one who just did the re-release, the Spyro trilogy.
Mm.
In this case, it's called Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time. Quite honestly, I'm looking forward to it. Because I paid so much attention and gave so much care to the Spyro trilogy. But I've also really enjoyed kind of the new game jumping on points. I didn't play Crash Bandicoot.
Right.
You know, that wasn't in mine. But I also didn't play Sly Cooper. And then when the fourth one came out, it was like this jumping on point to play that one. Liked it enough that I went back and bought and played the re-release, the HD re-releases. But I mean, and the same with Ratchet and Clank Future, you know, and I'm still playing those games as they come out. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
PS5. But I mean, even God of War, you know, which is supposedly a continuation. But I mean, the newest God of War is basically just saying, hey, do you need a new jumping on point? We're going to shake things up a bit, give a new jumping on point. And it was the first, maybe only, God of War game that Darren finished?
Yeah, it was start to finish, probably one of the best games I played that year.
So, I mean, if doing this means that you're getting more fans, but you're also, you know, getting this jumping on point that's honoring the past, and go for it. If my spouse really enjoys Crash Bandicoot 2 and 3... I guess Crash Bandicoot 1 was a wildly different style of game.
It was very hard.
And so, but, you know, hey, games, we love them.
Yeah.
Keep giving them to us. Now, is Demon's Souls going to be a new jumping on point for
no.
the Souls thing?
Absolutely
no.
not.
No.
No,
it's not.
No.
It's going to be just as hard and probably just as miserably broken as the first Demon's Souls. That's what I had.
It feels like they're kind of adopting a little bit of the puns that the Ratchet and Clank series had, which I don't remember which series started first, so I don't I'm not educated enough to count to talk on that because I wasn't a Crash guy myself, mm-hmm. Nor was I a Ratchet and Clank guy. My PS2 was primarily for RPGs and sports titles and stuff like that, and I was one of those guys, I guess. But I can see the appeal.
Everybody's got to start somewhere, Darren.
I started with Duck Hunt, that stupid dog. So, Warner Brothers, and we're talking about a little bit more about this in the movie segment. Warner Brothers is having a big DC fan event next month. This month. By the time you're hearing this, it's in July. Called
Enter the Fandome.
Fandome, which I guess is supposed to be like a play on fandom. With an E on the end. And one of the things that they're teasing is, oh, we're going to have some new announcements on games from Warner Brothers Games. And that was it. Just one sentence and nothing else. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, what could it be? It's Batman.
Many fans enter. One fan leaves. Many fans enter. One fan leaves.
But no, let's just call it out right now. It's going to be a Batman game. We don't have to like tiptoe around it. We don't have to pretend it's, come on, it's oh well, there's another DC Comics game, but what, it's Batman.
Can I still like just hope that it's a good classy Wonder Woman game?
I would be okay with that
until my hopes are dashed.
I would be okay with that.
I would love to see that happen.
Yeah,
such a different fighting style, different attitude, different mentality about mm-hmm. things.
Right, well, I've said
and
before,
you can still play a darker world.
Yeah. Yeah, like I've said before, Ubisoft essentially made a Wonder Woman game, called it Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and then looked at DC and said, what are you going to do about it?
Nothing,
essentially. But there have been rumors that there was a Justice League game in the works. Rocksteady has come forward and already said, we're not working on a Superman game, stop asking. So, which is unfortunate, because I think if any studio could get it right, it would be Rocksteady. Although, they got Superman right with LEGO Batman 2. So they proved it can be done. They just mm-hmm. don't want to do it. So this will probably be, I'm going to go ahead and wild conjecture here. I'm going to predict Batman Court of Owls, and it'll be by the same team that did Batman Arkham Origins.
Yeah, I still want Wonder Woman.
Yeah. No, hey, I do too. In fact, I'd love to see Injustice 3. Which I think they'll probably announce for the next-gen consoles, because those are fun.
That'd be an interesting one to go after.
Yeah.
I didn't like 2 as much as 1. Injustice 1 was really, really well done.
It really was, and it was a nice self-contained story. Injustice 2, they got a little gimmicky with a lot of the gear and that mm-hmm. whole system. And you know, look, people say I give Batman a hard time. I like Batman. I just have like a certain Batman tolerance level. And Injustice 2 completely upped that and went over and gave me Batman OD. I was overbatted.
All Batman, all the time.
KBAT, if you will. Speaking of overdoing things, you know, I heard this a lot when I was a kid. You're playing too much video games. It's going to give you like problems with learning.
It's going to rot your brain.
It's going to rot your brain. It's going to give you problems paying attention. Well, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, and I wish my folks were around to hear me say this, but ha-ha, because the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has approved a video game for treating ADHD in children. This was built by Boston-based Achille Interactive Labs. And the FDA says it can actually improve attention function. It's called Endeavor RX, which is, you know, the shorthand for prescription. And it requires a prescription. And it's designed for kids 8 to 12 with certain symptoms of ADHD. Now, it looks like at the moment it's only available on iOS platforms. So, you know, iPhone, iPad, that kind of thing. But the FDA looked at data from studies in more than 600 kids. And the game shows a character kind of traveling like a race course on a hoverboard, and you have to perform sensory and motor tasks to, you know, kind of keep moving. And that, according to the study, improves cognitive functioning. So take that video games are bad for you, folks. Somebody made a video game that can actually act as a type of therapy.
This is not the first time that we've heard of similar things. It's the first time that we've seen it for ADHD.
It's the first time it's been prescription, I think.
Yes. What we've seen before, and I'm pretty sure that we've talked about it, but it's been a year or more, is using the VR, the PSVR, and the Oculus Rift for therapy and recovery for paralysis victims.
Well, and you know, the Nintendo Wii has been used as like physical therapy as well.
Yes. And one of the studies was showing that, so putting the VR headset on somebody who's, say, paralyzed or mostly paralyzed from the waist down, and then putting them on those parallel bars so that they can see their feet and so forth, that by watching the feet move almost as a movie, it kind of tricks their brain into making those connections to do that. And they saw, like, faster recovery times.
That's really cool.
So, I mean, clearly we have a massive amount of untapped potential.
Oh, yeah.
In this kind of, in this particular kind of engagement.
Yeah. And there is a difference between taking an existing video game system, mm-hmm. whatever, applying it to recovery or whatever versus making a video game specifically for recovery. This is a good step.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, and it's nice to see continued steps, particularly by Microsoft, in raising accessibility of certain video games. In fact, I mean, I say Microsoft, but Sony just released The Last of Us Part 2. We're not going to be getting into that. I know there's a whole lot of controversy about the story, but it is one of the most accessible games out there. If you look in the options, there are so many. Everything from just little stuff like increasing and decreasing the caption size to there's a colorblind mode. There are just so many different functions. And so that was neat to see that Naughty Dog kind of went whole hog in that, if you will.
Nice.
Yeah. I wanted the over 60 accessibility settings.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
when you can, it's not nuts. It should be the new normal.
It really should.
But when you consider that we all grew up with three, and they were called easy, normal, and hard.
Yeah.
And that didn't do anything for button presses or music or. Okay, Rad Racer had a fourth one where you could push select and it would go into 3D. So if you had the glasses, you'd also watch it in like blurry red blue vision.
Ooh.
Yeah. We've got our Reddit question of the month coming up, as well as our pile of shame review. But I wanted to circle back to go back if you haven't. You should subscribe, by the way. But if you haven't, go back and find our chat on the PlayStation 5. We gave reactions to the first game trailers and the first footage and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we know a little bit more about the PS5, and including size, I guess, a little bit like that. But Chad, you wanted to, you're the resident PlayStation expert, really. You're a bigger PS fan than I am. So, what do you got on this?
Well, we know now that it's at least torso sized.
Oh my gosh!
For a younger to middle aged Asian man.
Yes. Yeah, a photo is circulating online of the first one that came out on the production line, and this thing is a chonker. Let me tell you.
Either it's large, or the man holding it is small.
The average torso of someone of a man in Japan is about the average height is 5'6", I should say.
Now, the average torso is 5'6".
That would be insane.
It actually is like one of those, you know, stand speakers from the 70s. You know, the PS5 has it uses new solid state technology.
Yay.
But yeah, the thing looks absolutely huge. It looks bigger than like one of the slabs of the Ten Commandments that Moses was given by God.
Yeah.
Ooh, but now I really want that.
That'll be a skin from our friends at Decal Girl. Just wait.
Yeah. So for scientific reasons, Chad and I had a tape measure, and we measured ourselves and then our torsos. And we're talking like 18, 19 inches from like collarbone to waist.
Mm-hmm. So it's...
And I'm 5'9", so I'm not that much taller than the average.
So it's going to be a large system. Make sure that you're clear in space. I'd kind of like... I really want to see actual official dimensions now because I got to know what I'm getting rid of on the TV stand.
Yeah. Well, luckily, it'll be back...
You can have the PlayStation 5 or the TV, Chad. Son of a bitch!
Well, luckily, it'll be backwards compatible, so you won't have to keep the PS4.
Yeah, that's what they're telling me. I'll believe it when I see it in action.
That's fair.
Just because I remember some of those backwards compatible things that we've seen before where your functionality was really, really poor on it.
Yeah.
So, So, go back and listen to Geek Cave Chat, and we talk about most of the trailers in some depth. But give special attention to, like, Horizon Forbidden West, which was their closer.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks phenomenal. Looks amazing. And then, of course, their opener, which was Grand Theft Auto 5, again, which I think is now rivaling Skyrim on the number of things you can play it on.
Yeah, and although...
You're going to get Grand Theft Auto 5, the Alexa edition, next.
Although, now that you mentioned Skyrim, somewhere Bethesda's
Alexa,
Todd Howard...
rob a bank.
Somewhere Bethesda's Todd Howard, his ears are just perked up, and he's like, I know what I must do, and we're going to get Skyrim again, you just watch.
Oh, probably. And that's fine. That's fine. You know, Skyrim's a good game. Has it gotten any closer to your PS3?
A little bit closer. No, the Switch.
Switch,
yeah.
Sorry. A little bit closer.
Yeah.
All right. Any more plastic coming off? Has it cracked open?
Oh, I've taken the plastic wrap off. I've opened the mm-hmm, case. Mm-hmm. I took the cartridge out. I put it back in. I closed it and set it down. And it just keeps moving progressively closer to the Switch.
So next month, will we get a taste reaction? You know,
By next month, I might have installed it on the Switch.
Oh. Okay, I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you because, you know, but in other games, there were Gran Turismo 7, Little Devil Inside, which looks like if Tim Burton did a good job with Alice in Wonderland. Goodbye Volcano High, which I'm predicting is Darren's Game of the Year 2021. You know, the funny thing is I say that, but I know nothing about this. None of us know anything about this. It might actually be a game of the year.
It might be,
we just really don't. And so I say that jokingly because it looks like an 80s cartoon about dinosaurs dating. You know.
Well, as Darren has said, we have immense power with this podcast.
We do indeed. You're welcome, Goodbye Volcano High. Godfall, which continues to look on it, both amazing and amazingly bland. Like, it looks very pretty. But, you know, a lot of games look pretty, and then your gameplay is kind of boring. It's the biggest mystery so far, because it's been the one that's been teased the longest. And then my likely game of the year, which is Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. So check those out. We don't know the price, although in Finland, of all places... the Amazon Finland had leaked for a little time the supposed prices, so that the PS5 would be €399 for the digital and €499 for the disc one, which probably translate to about the same number of dollars. They're not going to change that.
Yeah, there might be like a $30 or $40 difference, but usually whenever they do that, it's the same numbers, just in whatever the currency happens to be.
Right. That puts it as less expensive than we originally thought.
You said $4.99 for the disc one?
€499 for the disc one.
€500 equals $559.
Yeah.
So
it'll be about the same.
Yeah.
You know, and they lose $59 U.S., by keeping it the same, and they'll sell hundreds more, thousands more, because Americans won't feel like they're being, quote, cheated by the higher price, even though it's the exact same level of.
Yeah.
Anyway, if it's true, that's a good price. You know, $4.99 is still expensive, you know, but I don't feel like I have to get a second job.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of those where, like, that's probably accurate as far as where the price is. I wish that Sony and Microsoft would just stop staring at each other, make out, and announce what both of the prices are and get it over with. And, of course, now that I've said it, it'll happen by the time this episode goes up. You're welcome once again, Internet. I know that Microsoft has a big, what they're calling a mic drop type event sometime in the month of July. And, of course, we'll have full coverage of that at geekcavepodcast.com. I imagine that's probably where we'll get the price for the Series X.
The mic drop moment is that the Series X is completely free. like you just go and you pick it up, but everything on it's a la carte. You want to get online? It's going to cost you. You want to play a game? It's going to cost you. You want to sync your controller? It's going to cost you. You know? Just across the board, you know, it's just totally free. Everything's an upgrade. You want to install that game? That's going to cost you. Oh, wait, did you want a hard drive included in that? Yeah, that's going to be an upgrade.
Yeah.
Did you want sound in your games?
Ooh. Did you want to see your games?
Oh, that's going to cost you.
You know, it's funny you mentioned. It's funny you mentioned upgrades. This kind of flew by under my radar a little bit. So, you know, PS4 and the Xbox One, they have expandable memory. So do the Switch, you know, with external hard drives and the like. So the PS5 will have the option to plug in like a USB external hard drive, like other consoles. The Xbox is going to use proprietary memory cards.
Of course they are. It works so well for the Vita.
Yeah. I feel like this should be a bigger deal. Nobody's really kind of talking about this.
Maybe because the proprietary hard drives are also going to work with every single PC?
I don't know. But like these are like a very specific type of card from what I was able to find from like some of the specs. So I don't know, guys. That seems like a bad idea.
Poor Microsoft.
Making
foolish decisions, learning wrong lessons from history.
Well, and you know, they've done so well with playing catch up in this particular generation. Game Pass is a great idea. They've done a lot to kind of build goodwill in the gaming community. So I hope that's an error. And I hope that's why I haven't seen more about it. But I was looking over the official specs, and I don't think it's an error, which is, that's unfortunate. I hope that they're priced reasonably, at least.
They probably will be. I'm expecting that they'll be between 50 and 100 less, honestly, than the PS5.
Okay. Yeah, I think they'll lowball them. I think they'll undercut them in some way.
Well, I think they'll be able to. I mean, it just flat out, Microsoft has, ultimately, they have more money in the bank than Sony does. They can take a bigger loss on that, touting what for all intents and purposes is going to look the same on the screen.
Yeah. You know,
very few people are ever going to be able to tell the difference in terms of graphical fidelity or even speeds outside of certain load screens, which supposedly the PS5 won't have.
Uh-huh.
I'll believe that when I experience it.
Right.
But going into it, I think Microsoft is in a better position to take the lead, at least in the first year of release. I think this holiday season is going to go to Microsoft in terms of sales, based solely on price.
Okay.
I think by the next season, well, and part of it is because they're going to have the bigger group of games coming out with it. You know, even with backwards compatibility, Sony's still playing catch up with new things. Why would I buy a new one to play my old games?
Right.
When I can still play my old games on my old system. but by next year they'll have caught up with the exclusives. And I think it'll be 2021 when Sony either meets or exceeds sales for Microsoft.
Well, I believe Horizon is aiming at a 2021 release date too.
Yep. I said if I don't have it by then, that would be my system seller.
There you go. All right. All I've got left is a pile of shame, but there is one other feature that apparently is kind of popular. Justin.
Hi, Darren.
So you've been spending any time on the internet?
Yes. As you know, I don't get a chance to play video games much, but I do have a breadth of knowledge that I think is useful to gamers. And so I've been... Are you okay, Chad?
I'm trying to blank my face.
He's preparing.
So that you're looking right at me, and I don't want to be the instigation to you not being able to finish answering your question.
There you go.
So I think it was 1 or 2 months ago you could not finish.
Yeah, that was a thing.
So
it was hilarious.
Anyway,
though.
I've been some people would say trolling. The subreddit Ask Games to find questions that I think need answered. Normally I stick to a broad question, but this is kind of region specific. And the question is, what is the best place to buy 80s, 90s Nintendo console games in the UK? Well, you have two options here. First is going to involve some travel. The best black markets are in Taiwan. They're everywhere. No need to be clandestine or anything. Just go shopping. You'll find something, but it's not the most cost effective. Your next option, like I said, the UK. Your next option is the bit trickier, but more fiscally responsible. Track down a guy named H.G. Wells. It's come to my attention that he has a, quote, time machine, but shh, it's secret. Use this to travel back in time to your choice and buy the console new. It's hard to he's hard to pin down, but once you do, you're set.
All right. That's
okay.
Yeah.
Shh, don't tell.
Yeah, it's well, you know, if everybody knew.
It's true. That's true.
Now remember, everybody, this is just for UK folks. So shh.
All you Americans, you'll have to find a different fella.
Yeah, well, it's okay.
All us colonists have to find a different time traveler.
It's okay. I was holding a cup of tea at the time, so Americans couldn't hear it.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, that's been the gaming segment. Oh,
yeah.
Wait, there's more.
Kent!
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
Okay, so I looked at my increasing list. I don't know how this thing keeps getting bigger because I'm not buying as many games now. I don't know how this thing keeps getting bigger. Title of my sex tape. That's what Chad's thinking.
But I wasn't going to say it.
Yeah.
Things not heard on my wedding night.
So I decided to boot up the PC and play Override Mech City Brawl, which I got on a Steam sale. And then after 10 minutes, I was super bored and I dug out my GameCube instead. So this month's review is Star Fox Assault. Yeah, so Override got great reviews. So I bought it on a whim. And it's basically like a fighting game with giant robots, which sounds right up my alley. But, I just didn't feel it. But what I can get behind is anthropomorphic animals flying in space dogfights, and you're not fighting space dogs. It's just... Anyway. So, the GameCube had a pair...
I remember Space Dogs as a cartoon from the 80s, right?
Probably.
I thought it was one of those Disney live-action ones. You know, you had Air Bud, and
yeah,
then you had...
Space
well,
Buddies.
Yeah, they did that, but I just like, Space Dogs! Bugs? You know, I kind of remember that from my childhood. Probably. Am I right?
You might be. I mean, there was a time there where you had a whole bunch of anthropomorphic animals. I mean, you had Ninja Turtles, which is still around, but then you had, you know, the Cowboys of Mesa and Street Sharks.
Yeah, I mean, and there was
Biker
also...
Biker Mice from Mars.
There was also Silver Hawks. They weren't actually hawks, but it was in the title. Maybe so, I'm thinking in that vein.
So there might have been... Space Dogs might... Or, yeah, Space Dogs might have been a thing.
Yeah.
Space Dogs! So anyway, fighting Space Dogs.
Yes. Love that franchise.
I honestly don't remember it.
Yeah. Anyway, Star Fox Assault, which there are no dogs on the team, technically. So, sorry. Sorry, Justin. But there is a wolf. I guess that counts. Look, what you need to know is it's an on-rails space shooter to a point. Star Fox and Star Fox 64, those were on rails, and they were great. Star Fox Adventures came along... And you never did any flying, and you had a pet Triceratops, and there was a female fox in, like, a jungle bikini, and it was weird. But Star Fox Assault, which nobody apparently remembers for the GameCube, also came out. Everyone keeps talking about Adventures because it was so terribly bad. And that's because it was supposed to be a Zelda-like game called Dinosaur Island, and Shigeru Miyamoto is like, let's put Star Fox in there. And you don't say no to Shigeru Miyamoto. But Star Fox is... Go ahead.
You know how you get off the rails?
Mm.
You do a barrel roll.
Yeah. Or an aileron roll, as some of our more aeronautically inclined people like to point out. But, yeah, Star Fox's...
Skyboat people.
Star Fox Assault is an attempt to be a return to form as far as the aerial combat. However, they do kind of put a lot of ground combat and, you know, running around shooting... giant robots and yada yada yada. That's not important. The important thing is it fun? Yes, it is fun. Is it dated? Oh yeah. This came out in 2005, and playing it in 2020, I can tell this was a game that came out in 2005. That being said, while the graphics are kind of muddy, especially while I'm playing on an HD TV using a Nintendo GameCube, you can tell that this game has not aged super well. What does hold up well is, you know, the combat. Voice acting, not so much, but flying the R-Wing still feels really good. Combat still feels snappy. The humor is still cheesy, but it's there, and I still enjoy it. It's a Nintendo title, and the Nintendo is usually pretty good about the quality of their first-party titles. It is worth noting that this game was not entirely developed by Nintendo. In fact, Namco was the lead developer on this. After Star Fox 64, Nintendo kind of stopped caring about Star Fox, and so other developers have had to make games using Nintendo's own property. Namco made this one in Adventures, and of course, we know Ubisoft made Starlink, which was on the Nintendo Switch, essentially a Star Fox game with other characters. And I would say it's probably the best one. I know that's sacrilege for fans of Star Fox 64, but this is the internet. What are you going to do? Fight me physically? So I would say, you know, it's a shorter review because there's, like you guys say, whenever there's a good movie or a good comic to review, there's not a lot of bad stuff to talk about. There's not a lot of bad stuff to talk about in this one, other than some of the voice acting and Falco is a dick. So Star Fox Assault is good. I would recommend it. I say be like me, track it down. It's going to be a little bit harder to do so because GameCube games are apparently, unless they're a sports title, really expensive now. So you'll probably find it used in moderate condition for about $45. If you want something, yeah, if you want something in very good condition, it's going to cost you upwards of $70 to track this one title down. But if you're a fan of the Star Fox franchise and you have not played it, I do recommend it. Anybody got anything else?
I do not.
Awesome. Nope. Well, I do want to remind you to check out the comics podcast, which landed yesterday. If you're listening to these the day they came out, movies podcast lands tomorrow. And all of these are, of course, on the podcast services of your choice. The major ones, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, that kind of thing. And a lot of littler ones, too, as they get kind of picked up by these aggregators. And we do appreciate it. Please leave us a review. Or at the very least, a positive review. And if you can't even do positive, how about constructive? Can we do that? Can we get there, internet? Also, feel free to give us feedback, geekcavepodcast@gmail.com, or on our social media platforms. And don't forget about our other podcasts, Geek Cave Chat, You Want Me to Watch What, and our video podcasts, Retromantics and Geek Cave Plays. We will see you guys for the movie podcast tomorrow. And remember, everybody's a geek for something.